Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
This morning, if you're writing notes, write down the title of the message. It's called, what is it called? It's called The Miracle is in Your Movement. The Miracle is in Your Movement. My question for us this morning is, how many miracles are we missing out on because we're failing to move? What if the responsibility wasn't on God to do it, but on us to do it? This morning, I want to unpack this idea, and I'm praying today that there would be a holy fire that would rise up on the inside of us, a righteous indignation towards the things of hell, that we would stand on business today, that we would stand in our authority, and we would make moves for the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh man, I'm fired up. I've got to slow down. Just slow your roll. It's a morning service. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence is here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise. And so this morning, be enthroned upon our praise. We love you, Jesus. There is truly none like you. What a joy and honor it is to come into your house. Better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere, even in Cork, Ireland, where it's probably freezing today. Warm the cockles of their hearts, Lord. But while we bask in the sun and glory of Perth, Lord, we pray, would we bask in a greater glory of your Son? In Jesus' name. If you love him one more time, could you clap your hands all across the room and thank the Lord? Amen. 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 I don't know about you, but I definitely watch far too much Instagram and YouTube content. Is anybody else out there? Like, I'm the guy who gets home from a busy day at work. I'm a pastor, so it's always very busy for us. I don't know if you understand. It's very busy. And I get home and I just sit in the car, and to unwind, to detox, I just scroll, you know, scroll through Instagram. I'm over the age of 16, so I can still legally do that. And so I was scrolling through, and my algorithm got me onto some pretty awesome stuff, like miracle moment type stuff. My favorite type of videos are like the Dude Perfect videos, where they do these amazing trick shots. They're like throwing basketballs over stadiums, definitely not AI influenced, and it lands in the hoop first time. You know, it's like, wow, Jesus is alive. That's amazing. Then I started getting these near miss videos where like people are like on their phones walking, and they're walking crossing the street, but they didn't check both ways, and they walk and then near them truck, but it doesn't hit them. Jesus is alive. You know what I mean? But then obviously I became a dad, and so my algorithm started giving me dad save moments, you know, those ones where the baby's asleep on the dad on the couch, because it's really difficult being a dad. So hard, so much time just given to the sweet baby. So much effort, so much. And then the baby's there on the chest, and then the baby rolls off, and woof, the dad catches it, wakes up from his deep slumber, catches the baby. Jesus is alive. It was getting to the point where I was like waiting for my moment, you know, as a dad, you know? So I was like just following my son around, just ready to just like, you know, catch him. But he's an athlete, so he doesn't fall. And my wife told me it would be rude if I pushed him over to catch him. It doesn't quite work the same. So I've never done that. I'm a good dad. But how many people know it's one thing to watch a miracle moment and it's another thing to live it? Like as an athlete, you can tell. I played competitive men's football, soccer football. I played for the Tower men's division. We played in grade 15. Yes, it's a high league. And we were playing in the championship final. Yes, a championship final. And we're playing in a place called Island Bay in Wellington. And it sounds amazing. Apart from Island Bay, it's this wind tunnel. And so when the wind comes through, it's very cold. And that day it was windy and rainy. And so the wind and the rain wasn't just coming straight down. It was coming horizontally down right in my face. And it was cold and it was windy. It felt like a movie moment. I was like living my dream. I'm a goalkeeper. I'm in the goal. I'm waiting for my opportunity, you know. And I'm saving these goals. Absolutely amazing. Apart from the one I let in, now we're losing. Not so good, but redemption. Come on now, somebody. Gets to the second half. We score. It's 1-1. Oh, game on. Let's go. I'm in the goal. I'm waiting for my moment. I'm on my toes. I'm ready to go. And then a free kick gets given outside the box. Everything slows down. It goes black and white for some reason. And Morgan Freeman starts narrating. Here today. I'm in the goal. Free kick just outside the box. Now, as a goalkeeper, there's this moment called a miracle save. And it's where the ball goes from where the ball gets kicked into a top corner. And I've never experienced this before, for I was too short. but I was ready for a moment. And if this goal goes in, we're going to lose the game. It's like 5 minutes to go. And the kick comes in. Dun, dun, pew. I see it. The spirit of a cat comes upon me, ladies and gentlemen. And I feline fling myself for that top corner. Tip it over the bar. I save the goal. I live the miracle moment. We go on to score another goal. Oh, we win the game, the championship. That's right. A whole bunch of overweight young men just shouting with each other and chanting. And yeah, we're the best. But in that moment, I experienced a miracle. A miracle moment. A miracle save. And the truth is, to pull off a miracle moment, whether it's a near miss or whether it's a dad save or a goalkeeper save, to experience the miracle, it requires you to move. I think it's exactly the same with the things of heaven. I think it's exactly the same with the things of God, that if we're going to experience the fullness of his kingdom here on earth, we actually have to move. Like I asked this at the start, I wonder how many miracles are waiting to happen for us simply to move. I want to have a look at the Bible, Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 6. Yes, there is Bible in this message. Do not fear. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. Let's have a look at this moment in scripture where the Israelites and wow, that's a youth issue there. That's the youth camp lag. Apologies. Pull it in for the online congregation. Moses was what I was looking for there. Let's have a look at this. The Bible says, as Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, they looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? Egypt, 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 Egypt. Yeah. We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see here today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Verse 15 says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. The miracle is in your movement. The miracle is in your movement. This is a crazy passage of scripture. God's people have been slaves in Egypt for many, many years. And now finally, according to the movie, The Prince of Egypt, deliver us to the promised land. When I read this story in the Bible for the first time, I was utterly confused at the lack of singing in the Bible. So God's people, they've been on the run. They've experienced 12 plagues that lasted about 4 to 5 months. They're on the road, and now they're stuck between a rock and a wet place. They're stuck between the Egyptian armies coming and the sea that stands before them, and they're freaking out. They panic. Moses, Moses, we told you Egypt was better. Why? I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. I'm not sure if I've felt like that before, but I feel like I've gotten pretty close where I'm freaking out about everything, you know what I mean? Where nothing really makes sense. God, I thought God was with me. I thought God was for us. Where's the God who delivered us? Where is he now? And Moses, who's not the most confident of leaders.
Yeah, good point, really. Well, just stand still. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Stand still and watch the Lord will save us today.
You know what's funny is that in the Bible in the year plan, in the verse of the day, in the word for today, this verse and this passage stops there. This is where many Christians close their Bible and they say yes and amen. They post this on social media with some soft music and a mountain slowly moving behind it. Stand still and watch. The Lord is going to deliver you today. Even as we read it, something on the inside of us rose up and was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. The only problem is verse 15 exists. The only problem is that God's response to the request is a rebuke. Why are you crying out to me?
Oh, because I'm a bit insecure as a leader. You know?
Because I'm freaking out, because I'm afraid. I don't know what to do here. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, Moses. Raise your hand, Moses, over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Imagine if the Israelites stood still. They would have missed the miracle. They would have died before reaching the promised land. Now, obviously, this generation does die because they continually fail to rely on God. It doesn't seem to matter how many times as people we see God move time and time again, the doubts are easy to come back. Fear of man quickly takes hold of our hearts. I wonder how many miracles we've missed out on because we failed to move. I wonder how many miracles we're missing because instead of making moves for God, we're standing waiting for him to do something that he's mandating us to do. Now, there's a lot of gray hair in the room, and I respect you, and I know what you're thinking. Young man, I've read my Bible. The Bible says it's good to wait for the Lord. What do you know, young child? Go back to the youth camp. I can't. It's over. I'm sorry. You're right, and you're wrong. The Bible does say it's good to wait for the Lord. Let's have a look. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. It's in there twice. Psalm 25, verse 3. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Psalm 37, verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. The book of Lamentations this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25 to 26. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly. It's good to wait quietly. Some of us are waiting loudly. Egypt! It's good to wait quietly. Just respect his ear canals. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. And so many more references in Scripture tell us to wait. But if you're writing notes down, write this down. While it's good to wait for God, it's not good to stand still. There is a massive difference between waiting for God and standing still. And the truth is this, friend, that after we've waited for God, the thing that should follow naturally is a move for God. See, the pattern is this. We wait, we hear, we move. Yeah. That's the pattern.
That's right.
As a goalie, in my final, which is the most impressive athletic moment of my entire life, if I'm in the game and I'm standing still watching, when the ball comes, I'm not going to be ready to respond. Right. A good goalkeeper will move with the ball. Will communicate, will be on their toes, expecting, waiting. See, the thing about waiting for God, it's not passive. You don't get to stand still and go, okay, cool, well, when the opportunity comes, I'll respond, because the reality is many of us are too scared to even respond. No, we've got to be ready. God, I'm ready. Here I am. I'm ready to move for you. I'm ready to take a step of faith. Listen to me this morning. If we want to be effective, we have to move. If we want to activate the gifts that God has for us, we have to move. If we want to access the miracle moments that God has for us, we have to move. Why? Because there's a difference between waiting and standing still. We are a generation addicted to standing still. Convenience is on every corner. It's easy to stand and to watch. It's passive. You don't need expectation. Many of us are waiting for the next generation to take the mantle of the things we didn't take hold of ourselves. And let me tell you, man, Gen Alpha's coming. They're going to do it. If you were here last night, man, holy moly, we could have gone till 1:30 in the morning, but we had to respect you as parents and get them back to you and the bus driver's time, of course, as well. But man, God is moving, but we are a generation. We are a generation addicted to standing still. We're glued to screens. We don't even need to leave our house to get chicken nuggets anymore. Ba-da-ba-ba, Uber Eats. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of you are Uber eating this morning online, and I'm not even mad about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think? We're glued to screens, phones, constant alerts, notifications about the things of the world, but not the things of the word. COVID locked us in our houses. And many of us haven't responded to get out of that lockdown mentality. We're still locked down in our own mind, bound by mental restrictions. No, but waiting is active. There's an expectation to waiting. There's an expectation to waiting. I'm holding faith. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to respond. I'm prepared. I'm excited for what God is going to do. The waiting always precedes the moving. We wait, God speaks, we move. We wait, God speaks, we move. I love this thought in Psalm 37, verse 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I don't know if you're a selective reader like me, but I love that second part. The fact that God actually delights in every detail of my life. What a radical thought. That the God of heaven and earth cares enough about every detail in my life. Bro, I'm nobody. I'm just a dude. I'm not even fully sure how I found myself here today. Like, I don't know what he's doing. It's very confusing sometimes. But I'm grateful for a God who cares about every detail. But here's the problem. We're consumers. So we miss the first part, but we yum, 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 the second part. Put the verse back up. What does it say? The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Listen, what does God direct? Our standing stills? Our steps. So many of us are passively waiting for God to open up a door and then move us too. We're standing still, hoping that God would direct us. Then we're audacious enough to say, wow, God's just left me. No, no, God's before you saying, brother, son, here. Daughter, come here. But he's also behind us going, son, this way. Daughter, this way. He directs our steps. He takes us as we move by faith. He takes us and he orders our steps. Do you know what's really cool about this word too? In Hebrew, this word for directs is a word called hun. And it's an H with a U and a woo and an N. And it means to be firm, to be stable, and to be established. Oh, I love that thought. That for those who are in love with God, he establishes us by directing our steps. Many of you feel like you haven't been established by God because you're not moving for him. Because the last movement you made was lifting up your hand and responding to Jesus. A great movement, by the way. But Jesus is the way. He's not the decision. He's the way. There's a movement required to this thing. A constant life of obedience, saying yes to every opportunity that comes our way. If we want to be established and directed by God, we need to move. Because the miracle is in your movement. I think that we've got this problem where as the church, and I think every generation does this, by the way. I think our generation is doing, millennials are doing this almost more than any other generation. But I think we've been standing still for far too long, watching, wondering why the world is getting worse. I was talking to a young adult the other day, and they were like, oh yeah, it's getting pretty bad. Donald Trump, you know, he's crazy. Greenland, you know, like it's crazy out here. I was like, yeah, well, what should we do about it? Because we can't affect American politics, so what should we do about it? Expecting him to say something like, pray for revival. Or, pray for revival, because there's not much more we can do about American politics. But he said, well, I guess we should just pray that Jesus comes back now. What? What do you mean? The Bible tells us that Jesus is holding back his return so that more people could find him. When we pray prayers like that because we found Jesus, we're effectively saying, God, we're happy for this game to end now. We're happy for the people that don't know you to go to hell. We're happy for the city that's stuck in sin and debauchery to just perish. Because I've got Jesus, I'm good. No, I don't want Jesus to come back yet. I want him to come back. But while I've got breath in my lungs, And well, I've got two hamstrings at work and no ACL reconstructions, bro, I got moves to make. I got moves to make. And even if my ACLs go, I believe in God who's a healer. Come on, somebody. He can heal my ACLs so that I can outrun horses and chariots. Let's get it. Come on, we've got to rise up in faith, church. We got to take our authority that was bought for us by the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn for you and for me. And I'm pretty sure he didn't tear the veil so that we could experience a tingle on a Sunday morning. Nom, 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 nom. Me, 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 me. No, them, 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 them. Yeah. Out there, out there, out there. Yeah. Nations is not a church name because we attract many people from many different nations. Yeah. Oh, we might for a bit. Come, 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 come. Fire them up, send them out, let's go. Yeah. Come on, even in Cork Island, come on somebody, wake up. Yeah. It's time to move. Yeah. The miracle's in your movement, church. Yeah. We're standing still, saying we're waiting for God, when God has already given us everything we need to succeed. Anybody like coffee? I love coffee. I'm just gonna go have one now. Hey guys, how are you? You all right? Thank you. I love a coffee. How many people know that having coffee is one of the most closest experience to heaven on earth? Don't write that down. Don't write that. That was the loudest affirmation I got all morning. Okay, you got to watch yourself, you know. At home, someone's on their fourth espresso. Yeah, bro, I'm so about this, you know. Like, if I order a coffee and I want to partake in the miracle of the coffee, which I desperately do this morning. How many people know I can't just order it and consume it? Because it's been made. The promise of God is for me. It's been made. It's right there. But if I want to partake in it, I have to make a movement. I have to reach out my hand and take hold of it. But even if I reach out my hand and take hold of it, I'm not done moving yet. Because even now, I can't drink it yet. Just because you took hold of the hem of his garment doesn't mean you're fully participating in the fullness of what he has for you. No, there's more movements. You got to bring it close. You got to drink. And then you got to drink some more. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel alive this morning. I'm not trying to beat you up because I don't actually have that authority. I'm going home tomorrow and I'm excited about seeing my son. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to provoke a righteous indignation to the things of hell inside you. I'm trying to remind you of what your call is as a Christian. It's not to be a consumer. It's to be a contributor. Why? Because the miracle's in your movement. The hope of the world is in him through you. Can I take the next 3 hours and just unpack this a little bit more? Everybody logging off online. Oh, I'm done. I'm done. There are two movements that the Bible tells us about in this story. The first movement is a corporate movement. What does God say? He says, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." Now, this word moving is actually a Hebrew word and it's nasa. N-A-S-A. And the word means forward or journey. Tell the people to get moving. Tell the people to keep going forward on the journey that I have for them. See, the problem is as a people group, the world starts going crazy and we stop our journey in Christ. And then we start freaking out and we start calling unto God, but God would look at us and go, "Bro, I already gave you everything you need. I gave you the fullness of my spirit to empower you not just to understand my word, but to actually do it." Yeah. As the body of Christ, we're not meant to stand still, but take ground. Yeah. As the body of Christ, we're meant to move and see miracles in our church, in our neighborhoods, our small groups, our workplaces, our families, and our friendships. Yeah. That's your mandate. Yeah. That's mine too. Yeah. I'm just not part of this church. Yeah. but I'm part of the capital C one, the big global church. Oh, I wish we would wake up. Man, I wish that it wasn't just at youth camps, that we had these massive moves of God. Some of you forgot what it felt like to be in a youth camp. I'll give you everything. Then when we actually have something of substance to give him, I'd give you that if I didn't have it. You know what I mean? Like, I'd give you my money, but now I have some, I'm less sure I want to give that to resource the kingdom. I'd give you my time, but now my time is valuable, so I'm not sure I want to give that to you. Friend, come on. The miracle's in your movement. And together as the church, we need to move. But the second movement that he talks about in scripture here is a personal movement. Write this down. For the corporate movement to happen, it first required a personal movement. Moses had to move first so that the people could move too. Now, let me tell you, your senior pastors have no issue with this because for many years they have faithfully made moves. This church is a result. It's a miracle because of their movement. And not just them, the staff, the pastors, the elders, the health and safety officers, respect. Every single one of us are making individual moves, and that's the only way that the corporate movement can happen. And here's my encouragement. You never know who's going to be impacted because of your move. I've been a pastor for 13 years, and I had the joy of pastoring this kid. He was 12 years old at the time, and he was one of those kids that hyperfixated on stuff. So like one time he came to me, he's like, I'm building a greenhouse in my backyard and I'm going to grow tomatoes. I was like, my guy, do it, bro. I'm going to get a Nintendo Switch and I'm going to be the world champion in Mario Kart. Bro, my guy, let's go. Then he got hyperfixated on chess. Now, I'm not a green thumb, but tomatoes, seed, water, warmth, growth. I could wrap my head around that. Mario Kart, beat him every time, so he wasn't going to do well at that. But then he got hyperfixated on chess. I'd take him to chess tournaments as his leader for his parents, just that I could hang out with him and be in his world. How many people know that the people we lead just want us to be in their world? And I'm sitting there and he's actually quite good. Ding, 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 ding. Like, that's the clock. And I didn't even know there was a clock in chess. You know, I was like, okay, cool. Like, you do your thing. And at the end, this 12-year-old, I'm like, bro, you're so good at this. You're so good at this. He's like, yeah, I am. I was like, okay, pride issues, simmer down. He's got to rebuke sometimes, you know. I was like, bro, like, how do you know what moves to make? Like, how do you know what you're doing? And this 12-year-old looks me in the eye and goes, Harry, a chess game is never won in one move. And when I move, my enemy counter moves. And my job is to expect a counter move and then respond accordingly. I was like, you're using ChatGPT. There's no way you could have known that. But if a chess game and life is won by many movements, I guess the question I have is, why aren't we making moves? Like, what is it for us? Because we know this is true. We know who God is. We know who he is. So what is it that holds us back? Fear. The disciples had a similar moment. On a boat one day, Jesus sent his disciples out on a boat, and Jesus goes up a mountain praying up a storm. And while they're in this boat, the storm rolls towards them, and it's crazy on this boat, you know, it's like crazy, you know. Sorry, at home, you probably got seasick. Apologies. They're on this boat. It's a crazy storm. And the disciples, they see something walking towards them. They freak out. Ah! For the youth who fell asleep in the service, welcome back. Yes, we're still going. It's a ghost! 11 disciples run to the back of the boat, but one listens to the words of this ghost. Guys, it's not a ghost. This is Harry's paraphrase version, obviously. Available today for sale along with the devotional book. Just kidding. That's not legal. It's not a ghost, it's me, it's Jesus. And Peter, with his eyes fixed on Jesus, if it's really you, tell me to come. Tell me to step out. Tell me to make a move. Do you know what's interesting? Is the if it's really you part. Peter didn't know it was Jesus. I feel the anointing. But he knew his voice. I remember that voice. It's the voice that called me to a higher level. It's the voice that redeemed me. It's the voice that set me free. It's the voice that's never let me. If it's really you, tell me to move. When the doctor said it's impossible to have kids, what's your response? Is it fear or is it faith? I don't know where you are, Jesus. I can't see you for sure, but I'm pretty sure I hear your voice. I'm pretty sure you're telling me to come towards you. And if it's really you, I'll take a step of faith. I'll step out of this boat at 4 months old with my newborn son. I'll move to Australia. If it's really you, tell me to move. If it's really you, I'll leave everything behind and follow you for the rest of my life. If it's really you, tell me to move. And with his eyes fixed on Jesus, his miracle is in his movement. And only two people we know, recorded in history, have experienced that miracle. Trust me, I try. Every summer camp, I try. I just get a water wedgie and a rash, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not helpful. But that's because that miracle was to teach him something. The miracle is to teach us something. And the things we learn through the miracle moments are what we're supposed to give to other people. That's why if you're over the age of 50 in this room, please don't give up. Our youth pastors is all, while we're awesome, but we're all super young and we don't really know what we're doing. It would be wonderful if you put your hand to the plow and you just came and prayed. And you invited leaders over for your dinner and you just schooled us a little bit. Listen, I don't know what your miracle is today. And I don't know what your move is. But I do know this. If you try and understand the move before you make it, you will always miss the miracle that God has for you. Peter never understood the moment, but he did know the master. Faith is not understanding, it's trust. So do you trust God to make a move? I don't know what it is. Maybe you just need to forgive that person. Maybe that's it this year. You just actually need to forgive them. Maybe you need to pray for somebody. Maybe you need to commit to giving regularly. Yeah, it's pretty biblical, bro. Maybe you need to release that money, be generous to someone else. Maybe you need to talk to that person. Maybe you need to step into leadership here at church. Maybe you need to serve on a team. Can I just tell you, the greatest lie of a big church is that you're not needed anymore. Here's the problem. You're the problem. Because the more of you there are, the more of you we need to help you get better. As an executive pastor in my church, I'm desperately in need of people to put their hand to the plow and help us reach more people. Don't think just because we have a college, we got it sorted. Don't think just because we have a great next generation that we've got it sorted. No, we need every generation interlocked together, moving as one unit. We need you. Church, listen, we need you. Perth needs you. Australia needs you. Wherever you are today, it needs you. Hey, if you're online, listen to me right now. Maybe your movement is to commit to praying for this church because you're wherever you are receiving today. I love that. Be blessed as you receive. But don't be a consumer, be a contributor. Why don't you email the team? Hey, how can I serve? How can I pray? How can I help? Maybe you just need to invite people to your house as you're watching these messages. Maybe you just start a small little gathering together where you pray for people, where you take a step out in your city. Maybe it's time for a move of God where you are right now. Maybe your movement is to commit to doing the college. Maybe your movement is to invite a person to church, to join a small group. Maybe yours is to ask somebody out over the age of 18. That's who that instruction is for. Maybe you need to encourage your boss. Maybe you need to buy that house. I could list off 1,000 things, but I don't have time. I don't know your move, but I do know that the miracle is in your movement.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.